All right, and welcome into another edition of the Eighth Round. It's the Mocking the Draft podcast. I'm Jason Mattson. I'll be kind of guiding us through, as always, the next 30 minutes or so. This week we kind of dedicated the whole show to quarterbacks. This week we're gonna center it around their favorite targets, the wide receiver position. We're gonna get into some talk about possibly we kind of know who the first and second wide receivers on the board. We're going to get into possibly, you know, a kind of a discussion of who the third pick might be at the wide receiver position. We're going to talk about some speed at the combine, who we think is going to be the fastest 40 time, because that's the sexy drill that everyone is concerned with. But first off, let's go ahead and let's introduce. We have a special guest tonight. We have Jared Faison from the University of Illinois. How's it going, Jared?
All is well. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And from here, we're gonna hand it off to Mr. John Dove. He will be handling the next few questions with you. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. First thing we want to say is thank you to Jared for joining us here tonight. We're gonna get a little couple questions out there to get to know Jared a little better. Maybe we'll ask him a couple wide receiver specific questions, and we're going to get started here with the first thing. Jared, right now, you know, you're working up to probably your pro day and just getting ready to work out for some teams. What area of your game are you really concentrating on right now?
Right now I'm just definitely focused on my route running, you know, getting more familiar with the NFL route tree versus, you know, the route tree that I had in college. So right now I'm just, you know, focused on perfecting my route running, definitely catching the ball.
Do you have someone guiding you with what different routes are out there? Because I guess if you're not familiar with them, you have to get some insight on the type of routes that, you know, different offenses in the NFL run. Is there someone guiding you right now through that, or do you have some sort of connection to get the type of different routes they may ask or want to see?
I would say a little bit of both. I'm really close friends with Andre Caldwell and Lewis Murphy, and both of those guys are from the Tampa, St. Petersburg area. So I definitely meet with those guys up to two or three times a week. And, you know, I get, you know, like the West Coast style, and then, you know, I get what the Bengals do. So I'm definitely getting the right advice. You know, I'm getting the right work, and it's all working out well.
That's great that you have, you know, some people out there that are willing to meet with you and work with you and improve your route running. You know, what type of receiver do you see yourself as in the NFL? You know, like the NFL has, there's the speed guy, the possession receiver, the slot type guy, or a guy that can, you know, work out of any type of, you know, section on the line of scrimmage here. What type of receiver do you see yourself as at the next level?
I would definitely say I'm more of a possession type to a certain extent, like, you know, Brandon Marshall, along that lines, but I can definitely make the big play when it's needed, or I can, you know, catch the hits and take it to distance or whatever. But more fit to my game is, you know, maybe catching balls across the middle, the tougher catches, kind of a bigger body, things like that.
So, you know, with that being said, are you getting a lot of work, or, you know, working on a lot of quick, short, three-step type drop patterns, or, you know, a quick slant over the middle, stuff like that? Are those the kind of routes maybe you're working on a little bit?
Well, yeah, we actually broke it up. You know, I actually started with the short game, and I was very familiar with that because I did. That was basically our whole offense, was a lot of spacing concepts like West Coast style in college. So I was very familiar with that. And, you know, now I'm just working on, you know, the outside receiver routes, the comebacks, the curls, the digs, the deeper routes like that.
You know, you're talking about the route tree and stuff like that. And we always hear, and myself, I always get into talking about the adjustment for quarterbacks, but not only quarterbacks, but for receivers, going from, you know, a type of spread offense with these short spacing patterns like you talked about to the, you know, transitioning to the NFL game. Have you found that there's a lot of patterns that you ran while at Illinois that were similar to the ones you're doing now, just, you know, some fine tuning, or is there just a whole new world of routes that you were unfamiliar with, and now, you know, as you're putting the work in, you're getting more familiar with?
I would definitely say that, you know, there's some similarities. Like, for example, in college, I ran a lot of option routes, so therefore my stride length didn't look as big, so I had more choppy steps, you know, because I was reading linebackers and safeties like that, and I just finding the open area versus, I think, in the read, as far as a slot receiver, it's just get to the spot, you know, as fast as you can. Not really concerned with, you know, all the sticking and all that stuff. Just spot, sit down, and, you know, the quarterback going to put the ball in.
Good, good. Do you have a pro day scheduled coming up? So we know, do we have a date for that?
Yes, my pro day is March 16th.
You know, a big thing we always hear about pro days is who's throwing the football to the receiver. Do you have a quarterback in mind that's going to be throwing you the football?
Not right off. I'm actually supposed to talk with my head coach tomorrow, Coach Ron Zook, about having my quarterback that I had in college, Nathan Shilhouse, come out and throw to me. If he's not able to do that, then I'm pretty sure my coach will have something arranged.
That's good, because I mean, we always hear a big deal about just being comfortable with the guy that's throwing the football to you, because you always want to look your best in those pro days. And I mean, I think either way it goes, though. You know, even if it's with a quarterback that you're uncomfortable with, I'm sure that would be noted and something that would go in your favor if you still look smooth and clean in that workout.
Right, right. You know, when it comes to situations like that, it's something that you have to understand. It's something that you don't have complete control over. So I can only control what I, you know, have to do, and that's run routes and catch the ball well. So that's what I'm concentrating on.
Exactly. You know, any big plans for draft day? You know, you're going out somewhere? Do you having a bunch of people over? You know, do you have any plans for the draft?
You know, to be honest with you, I actually haven't even thought, you know, that far into making plans for the draft day, you know, and what would I be doing. I've thought about it a little bit, but I haven't went into great detail, haven't put any plans into work. I'm actually just focusing on training, you know, worrying about my pro day, and just taking it day at a time.
Good, good. You know, anything, I don't know how often you get out and you read these NFL draft sites that are out. If you, anywhere you turn, I think you're going to find an NFL draft site with someone talking about different things. Is there anything maybe that you see and you read on those things that make you laugh with people breaking down receivers or anything like that?
I mean, yeah, of course. I'll just put it like this. You know, everyone has their own opinion. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But, you know, we all have adjustment day, which is basically like our pro day and then draft day. So, and I'm just going to continue to work and go out and continue to prove myself.
Well, thanks, Jared. You know, that's all I had. I'm going to see if any of the other guys here on the line have any kind of questions that they may have for you. Guys, you have anything? Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you there, Jared. You are, in a pretty unique position. You played at Florida and at Illinois, so both in the SEC and Big Ten. Really, was there really that big of a difference, do you think, between conference play in the SEC and conference play in the Big Ten?
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, everybody has fast guys at the skill position, all type of talent out there. I would definitely say the biggest thing I notice is in the Big Ten, the big guys, meaning the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they don't run as well as the bigger guys in SEC. That's pretty much the only difference to me that I noticed.
Very cool. Yeah, I've never really thought that there was that huge of a difference. Maybe a different level of athlete overall, but everyone's competitive, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
All right, Matthew, what about you? Do you have anything you wanna ask Jared?
Hey, Jared. I was wondering what you thought your toughest individual matchup was during your college career.
As far as like a complete defense or just like one individual player?
One individual player.
I'll have to say going against the Ohio State linebackers, Russ Hoffman, and I can't remember the guy, and they also had a safety, number 7. I can't remember his exact name, but, you know, those were very talented players. You know, it was great to go out and play the way I played against Ohio State versus that type of talent.
Sweet.
And Jason, what about you?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. Jared, you tragically lost your brother in 2008. How did that change you or change your priorities or motivate you? How did that change you as an individual and maybe even on the football field?
Well, it definitely made me tighten up my belt and get my priorities in line and just definitely go after the goals that I had set for myself. And my brother was a major part of my life. He raised me. Because I didn't know my father, you know, my mom was working all the time, so my brother was basically my everything in my life. And, you know, once I lost him, it definitely made me a stronger individual, and it made me appreciate things a lot more. And, you know, it just makes me strive, you know, to be the best, to go out and, you know, just makes me smile.
Definitely. Definitely. That's a great attitude to have. And I'm sorry about your loss.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
And finally, I'm a Mizzou fan. Did you get very much into the rivalry between Missouri and Illinois?
Actually, yes, I did. you know, when I first transferred up there, I had to sit out a year. And so I watched the games, and the following year it was my first opportunity to play in the arch rivalry. And, you know, they had Witherspoon and Carl Geddes, you know, some pretty good players. And, you know, like I say, it's a college rivalry. You know, it's very heated, a lot of emotion, and I really enjoyed playing it.
It's a shame that this was the last year of it. We won't see any more of the arch rivalry after this year.
Yeah, it's over now.
Well, too bad we had to beat you the last, I think, 5 or 6 times, but that's okay.
I know. Yeah, that's pretty awful, man. Yeah, you got me on that one.
All right, well, that's all I had. Thanks a lot, Jared.
Yeah, Jared, thank you. Thanks again for joining us. Good luck. Best of luck at your pro day. And, you know, if you ever want to chat again, we're always available. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Hey, man, just thanks for having me. And I'm definitely willing to do it again a bit down the road, maybe before my pro day or after.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jared.
Right, thanks, guys. See ya.
Well, right. That was Jared Faison from the University of Illinois. He seems like a very, very down-to-earth, driven individual. And, you know, after, you know, some of the stuff that he's been through in his life, I can understand, you know, where he's coming from. And just being that focused on a goal, I can appreciate that without question. Why don't we jump right on into the next topic? I kind of mentioned it earlier. The top two wide receivers are pretty much set in the 2011 draft. We have, of course, A.J. Green and Julio Jones. After that, it's kind of a mystery as to who should be in the number three spot. Some people will say Jonathan Baldwin. Some will say Torrey Smith. I've seen Leonard Hankerson. John, why don't we start off with you here? Who is your number three wide receiver in the 2011 draft?
Right now, I really like Torrey Smith, and I think the combine is going to be a big thing for him and John Baldwin. Whoever goes out there and runs the better 40 time may have a leg up. And I've mentioned this a couple times, you know, talking about the combine. And my biggest thing is when I see these 40 time numbers, I'm going to take them with a grain of salt, and I'm going to go back and see how balanced of a route runner, especially for Torrey Smith and John Baldwin. I've done some work on these guys, but I'm going to see the 40 time, and then I'm going to go back. I think Smith has the good speed. He runs clean routes, and he has a lot of upside. So I really think that this guy right now is the number three guy in the draft at the wide receiver position, and that could change come April. But right now, that's the guy I have in my number three slot.
So you're a Torrey Smith guy. What about you, Matthew?
I definitely agree with John that Torrey Smith will probably be the third guy taken. The number three guy on my board, however, is Titus Young out of Boise State. After the Senior Bowl, he really started to impress me. Went back and watched him a bit more. And he just has such a quick start off the line of scrimmage and speed to really make a difference from day one. He had some maturity issues early in his career, but as long as those check out, he would be the guy I would take after Julio Jones and A.J. Green.
All right. I like that. Josh, who do you like?
Well, I guess we're all going to go with a slightly different person. I'm going to go with Jonathan Baldwin, just slightly above Leonard Hankerson. I'll actually be a little curious if Baldwin runs a crazy fast 40 because he doesn't seem to do that on tape, play that fast. It'll be great if he can, but that's not one of the reasons why I think he'll be the third wide receiver taken. It's more of his body control, his hands, and his size. He could definitely develop into a number one receiver at the next level, and I think that's one of the reasons why he'll go before guys like Torrey Smith.
See, I'm in agreement with you, Josh. I like Johnny Baldwin. I think he will. I think he's going to run in the 4.4-ish, the mid 4.4s, and be a, you know, surprise some people, because he's 6'5", 230 something. He's a huge wide receiver. I like his skills to go up and get the ball. No one's going to take the ball from him. If you follow him on Twitter, he has a picture of himself with his shirt off, and he's a man. He's a big boy, and I don't see very many defensive backs taking the ball from him. I like Johnny Baldwin, and I like him to go, you know, possibly very soon, right after Julio Jones. There are some teams that kind of need the wide receivers there, but that's to be seen. So we have two that like Torrey Smith and two that like Johnny Baldwin. We should have had Jared Faison stick around, and maybe we could have asked him who he thought, maybe break the tie for us. But
yeah, I think it's interesting. It a wide receiver class that on paper really doesn't look as great as maybe years past. When you start getting down the line here, you know, you have AJ Green, Julio Jones. I think they're solidified as the top two guys in this draft, and I think there's a cluster there: Baldwin, Smith, Hankerson, Young, among others. And I'm hearing some things that Tandon Doss might be making a move, and if he comes out, he might run a real fast 40 time this weekend. It's an interesting class.
I like Jarrell Jernigan too. I like him a lot. What up? And I'm sorry, Matthew. You said Titus Young is your number three, right?
Yeah, Titus Young's the number three guy. I think Torrey Smith will have a great combine, and he'll probably jump into that third spot. But I definitely like Titus Young.
See, you confused me. You said so much about Torrey Smith that I just, my mind went on to the next one. And so I guess Johnny Baldwin wins. So
definitely. But I think it's also important to note too that not every team is looking for the same kind of wide receiver.
Exactly.
Too. Some might feel they have guys on the outside and they need that good shifty slot guy, like I think Titus Young and Jarrell Jernigan will be. And you know, some guys are looking for that possession receiver or that guy who can develop into a number one. So it's all really in what the team is looking for.
And one guy that I know he's not going to go in the top three wide receivers, but one guy that is kind of left out, and he was a huge prospect coming into this year. He's kind of had some issues with effort and injuries, was DeAndre Brown from Southern Miss. He's another one of those guys that I guess you can tell that I'm obsessed with the 6'5", 200 and some odd pound wide receivers. But DeAndre Brown, he had everything going into this year. He was a stud, and he just had some issues. Do you think that a team, this can be for any one of you guys, do you think a team takes a chance on him before the fourth or fifth round, just based on his talent and putting his maybe immaturity or whatever it is aside?
I think it's possible. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Josh.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's possible. I mean, you know, all it takes is for someone to fall in love with him. I'm kind of like you, Jason, in that I love those big, big, fast wide receivers. And so I've been, you know, a fan of DeAndre Brown up until this season when he had the off-the-field troubles and the reports of not getting along with coaches and teammates came out. But, you know, it's also possible that it could be, you heard stories like that about Mike Williams too, and he went in the fourth round. So I think that it could be something like that for DeAndre Brown.
Definitely. You were going to say something, John?
Yeah, I mean, I made a point a couple times this year to go out and take a good look at Brown, and he doesn't play that. He didn't play that often.
Yeah.
Even when, you know, started the season, the guy was rotated in and out, and he, you know, for his size, his athletic ability, and, you know, the hype that he had going into the season, and he just wasn't on the field. I don't know if that's a durability issue, if it's trust, if they, you know, we talked about the off the field stuff that came up with him and getting in arguments with his coaches and stuff, just not seeing eye to eye. You know, is it trust maybe with his teammates and his quarterback? I'm not sure. You know, nothing's known, but there's a reason why he wasn't on the field. And for you not to put your most talented player on the field, there has to be some sort of legitimate reason for that.
Well, I think he had didn't he have a knee or a foot injury? You know, midway through the end of the last season, Matthew, you said a knee.
He broke his leg at some point.
Oh yeah, and that was I think that was 2 years
sophomore
ago.
Year.
It was freakish. Yeah. It was disgusting to see. But yeah, he.
But I do think you're right, Jason. I think he had a hurt knee at some point this season and missed a game or two. But still, I think John makes a great point that even when he was healthy, he wasn't a constant presence on the field.
I'm reading something right here. It said he missed 7 games in 2010 with a lower leg strain. This is off a National Football Post from Wes Bunting. He missed 7 games this year with a lower leg strain, but never appeared to be healthy at all during the 2010 season.
The game I'm references was the referencing was the first game of the year this year.
Well, so there was so real no.
Wasn't really. It wasn't really an injury issue.
Yeah.
It was more just he wasn't on the field issue.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that I'm interested in, and to see what happens with him. Later on in his career, and even will he have how good of a combine will he have? Because he will be at the combine. I don't know what day the wide receivers run or whatever, but that might be a good test. And even hearing some of the scouts and teams talking to him, the interview process, because some of that stuff leaks, so maybe we can get an inside peek at what some were thinking about DeAndre Brown. So
yeah, that would be a bonus. I feel like the two most important parts of the combine get completely glossed over in the medical reports and the interviews.
Interviews are huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And the 40, and we were having, Josh, me and you were having a conversation on Twitter today about the about Stephen Pay breaking the bench press record and how, even if he wasn't at 100%, he probably could still come close to it. But, that's just for kind of the fans, I think, that because that really, 225 pounds 50 times, that's impressive, but does it really matter when you're playing a football game? I don't know.
Yeah, what is functional strength? I mean, a lot of the drills have a purpose.
Like the 3-cone drill and the whatever, I think those show some. And the 10-yard burst or whatever it is. I don't know all the drills, but
it's just too much emphasis is put on one individual instead of taking it all as a whole kind of thing and then applying that to what you see on tape.
Right.
Because that's still the most important part. This is just kind of one more piece to that puzzle.
No doubt, no doubt. All right. Well, do we have anything to add to the wide receivers?
Mm-mm.
All right. I guess we found out that the Jonathan Baldwin will be the third because me and Josh said so.
Majority rules.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
exactly. Right. All right. Well, let's go to something a little fun here. 40-yard dash. We that would have been a perfect lead-in had I not screwed it up. We were just talking about the 40-yard dash of. Is the glamorous drill at the combine? Everyone's obsessed with somebody that runs a 4.22 or a 4.2 or whatever. I mean, it could be the slowest time as well. But I mean, there are reports that Dante Moak has ran a 4.08 when he was at Nevada. I mean, it's just
like it's faster and faster every time I hear it.
Yeah, I heard a 2.2 earlier, but. Anyway, we're gonna talk about right now is who we think is gonna have the fastest 40 time at the combine. There are quite a few candidates to choose from. I can guarantee you I will not be picking Phil Taylor, that's for sure. But let's start with you. Let's start with you, Matthew. Maybe give us a couple guys you're gonna keep an eye on and who you think your who you think the fastest time will be at the NFL scouting combine?
I have to think the fastest time is going to go to Patrick Peterson. All he talks about is how fast he can run. So I want to see if he can put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
And I also want to see how some of those wide receivers run. Like you mentioned, Jonathan Baldwin looks like more of a 4.5 guy on tape. If he can run in the 4.4s, that'll help him. Maybe get that third wide receiver spot. And guys like Titus Young and Torrey Smith have a lot to gain from running fast. I think they'll definitely push Peterson for the fastest time.
No doubt, no doubt. What about you, Josh? Who do you think?
Well, I think personally for fastest times, I like to look more towards the smaller skill roles. And I think Jarrell Jernigan, he's also believe he was previously a track star too, and so he could be already well versed in how to run this kind of short burst, or well, it's not really a race, but short burst event. Another guy that I think could run fast. I think Patrick Peterson will run fast. I think that'll pretty be the most impressive 40 just because of his size. Although I've heard that he's dropped down closer to 200 for the combine.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that affects him. And let's pick a running back here. I think Jordan Todman could surprise a few people. He looks pretty fast on tape, and you know, he's got that small, compact body, and he's got a good burst. So 40 yards could be his big payday there.
Excellent, excellent. John, who do you got?
Going with that he's fully healthy, I'm going to go with Edmund Gates of Abilene Christian. I hear that a guy, you know, from Abilene Christian a couple years ago, Johnny Knox went out. He ran the fastest time, I think, of the year he was out there running in the 40. And I hear Gates is faster. I know he's training down at Ignition, and they are putting a lot of work and a lot of emphasis in the 40-yard dash. I think he's going to come out with good technique combined with his already good skills. And I think this is a guy that's going to come out, run a great 40 time. That combined with, you know, his production and play at the recent bowl games, I think he's a guy that you're going to see move up the draft boards after an impressive 40 time.
Yeah, I like all your choices. I mean, there are quite a few guys. There's Ricardo Lockett. He's had a lot of hype surrounding him with how fast he is. Rashard Carmichael. Who else am I thinking of? Derek Locke from Kentucky, the running back. He's supposedly pretty fast. no, he's really fast. I've seen a lot of his tape. But the guy that
anybody think Devine could be another guy up there?
Who's that?
Noel Devine from West Virginia.
Noel Devine, definitely, definitely. Dante Moak, we've already mentioned him. I just want to see him run. I mean, I've heard everything from a 4.08, 4.2 to 4.5. So if a man his size, but I guess. There were some reports that came out that he played last year at like 225. So if he's at 225, then yeah, I could see him possibly running a 4.3, 4.4. But the guy that I like the most of, I even put this in my mocking the draft of win Dan's money for the fastest 40-yard dash is I don't even know how much money's involved. Maybe he'll fill up my gas tank, but. I like Buster Skrine out of Chattanooga. I think that he's going to run the fastest 40. I've read a lot about him, seen a couple interviews. He's pretty obsessed with how fast he is. I put it at a 4.26. That's what I was going to put it at, but somebody beat me to it. 4.27 is my prediction for him. So that's who I think is Buster Skrine from Tennessee Chattanooga. All right. Well, I think that was that might have been the fastest 40-yard podcast. Oh wait, that's not, that was a different name.
God, Jason, I know. Get it right.
The eighth round this week that concludes it.
I do have something I want to throw in there. Just Dan is going to be our leader. Dan Kadar is at the NFL Combine, and he's going to be reporting, giving us some good inside information. The rest of this week and this weekend. So keep an eye out for that. Scouting reports are continued to be updated. Team needs. There's a new one every single day. Next week we'll be starting a new division. This week we're on the AFC East, and there's some good stuff about that up there. So just keep checking back. I think we're averaging about 6-7 articles a day, new material a day.
That's awesome.
And it's some good stuff everyone's putting out there.
Definitely, definitely. And did I read that right on Twitter today that Dan was actually in a car accident and he totaled his car on the way to the combine?
Oh, no, I did not see that.
He didn't total it, but the front passenger wheel is perpendicular to the rest of the car.
Oh, nice.
So it's not going to be going anywhere. But everybody is okay.
Luckily, he has 4 days or 5 days to spare, so he can probably get that. And there was no pun intended with the to spare. Ha, ha, ha. he's got some time to get that fixed, so hopefully everything's all right with that. And you know, like John said, just keep checking the site, you know, daily and hourly, because we do have stuff posted every day. I promise. My next mock draft that was so highly criticized, it'll be better next time. I took everyone's advice, and I appreciate all the kind words that were said. Thank you so much. But yeah, keep checking Josh's YouTube page. Matthew, you're doing a great job with the team needs, and that'll wrap up this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in.